Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here together, actually in church, worshiping you. We're so grateful, Lord. And we ask, speak to us this morning about this coming year. Help us to hear your voice speaking to us. And may we act on what you say, Lord, for the glory of your Son. Amen. Well, here we are. 2022 has arrived. We made it. 2021, with its mix of lockdown, vaccinations, masks, school online, working from home, separation from loved ones, missed celebrations, no travel, it's finally behind us. Well, what are you hoping for in 2022? Some people make New Year's resolutions. Have you made one? Have you got plans for the coming year? Well, my hunch is that many of us simply want 2022 to be better and smoother and easier than 2021. We would like no more threat of illness, no separation from those we love, school to stay open, travel to be easier, and so on. Well, as we think about that, hidden in this psalm is one of the best New Year's resolutions you can find, and also some great advice for us as we journey into the year ahead. It's interesting, this psalm is actually a pair with Psalm 111. Both are 10 verses long, and both are written as an acrostic poem, which means that the first letter of each line works through the Hebrew alphabet. We obviously miss that in the English. Not sure why it's done like that. Maybe it helped people memorize it. Some think it gave a sense of completeness. But essentially, Psalm 111 is about God and his works. And Psalm 112 is about what it looks like in the man or the woman who have fear and awesome reverence of the Lord. So, verse 1. It would help if you have got your Bibles or it's come up on the screen. But if you've got your Bibles or devices with you, that would be helpful. It says this, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. And I think the term, the fear of the Lord, is confusing. The Hebrew word here, yirah, that is translated as fear, actually has a range of meanings. It can mean fear in the sense of danger, but it also can mean awe, reverence, and included in that is a sense of wonder, amazement, mystery, gratitude, even worship. So when it says here the fear of the Lord, it's referring to an overwhelming sense of the glory, the worth, and the beauty of our one true God. And the word delight here, delight in his commands, has the sense of to be mindful, attentive to, keeping, have pleasure in. So you could say, blessed are those with a deep awe and reverence of God who find great delight in keeping his commands. That's the foundation of this psalm. And I put it to you and to me, here is a great New Year's resolution for us. That we grow more and more into somebody who has such a deep love and reverence of God, that we tremble at his commands and have delight in keeping them. You know, true life is to be found in knowing and loving God and doing his will in the world. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. But what is the outworking of a life of somebody who lives like this? Well, verses 2 to 9 describe some of the sequelae, maybe the benefits that come to those who have this reverence and love of God. First, in verse 2, their children will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright will be blessed. The God-fearing person benefits his family. As they model a life of fellowship with God, the children learn and they grow in the shelter of that blessing. And as you and I walk and obey the Lord, it will impact our children and hopefully our grandchildren and beyond. Now, before you look at your kids and go, really? Remember, firstly, we, you and I, are not yet this person the psalmist is describing. I know maybe one person in my life who possibly comes close to what the psalmist is writing about. So you and I are not there yet. But secondly, remember too that our children's story is not over. There is more transformation to come. Only 2 days ago, I was talking with a guy who at 17 was involved with some friends in a brawl outside a pub, and somebody got stabbed and was killed. This guy wasn't holding the knife, didn't touch the person, but he ended up in prison for 13 years. He completed year 12 in juvenile detention. And during his time in prison, the Lord got hold of him. He'd grown up in a Christian family, and he came alive. And he would say the last 8 years of his life were not in prison, but were simply doing ministry, and he led many to the Lord. And he is one of the most passionate, upright followers of Jesus that I have met. Keep praying. Your child's story is not over yet. Thirdly, remember, it could be much worse. You and I don't know, because of the prayers we prayed and the way we've role modeled things, what they have been protected from. The worst friends they might have made, the other things that they could have happened, the school exam that they nearly failed that would have tipped them into a low self-esteem. We don't know. Despite all that, sometimes you get glimpses of this effect on our children. And I remember about 14 years ago, there were around 5 school captains from the St. Alfred's Children's Church community. It was really unusual to have such a high percentage of kids being put in a school captain role. But what it reflected was that they were being recognized for their capabilities, their responsibilities. They stood out. The family of the upright will be blessed. Now, verse 3 is interesting because it says, wealth and riches are in their houses and their righteousness endures forever. Now, for those who lived under the Old Testament covenant, wealth and riches were a sign of God's favor and blessing. And as Christians living post the cross, we know that any wealth we have comes from the Lord. We're told that in James 1:17. But for us as believers, I see this as much broader. You know, when we have food on the table, when we have a roof that doesn't leak, we've got clothes to wear, we've got work to do, be it voluntary or paid, when we have a school to go to, we are rich, we are blessed, we have wealth. And it says too here, their righteousness endures forever. What does that mean? How? How does it endure forever? 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this, everyone's work will become clear on judgment day because it will be revealed by fire. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation of Jesus survives, he will receive a reward. So in that sense, the deeds that we do out of our love for God and our reverence for him will survive into eternity. And I'm just going to mess it up a little bit in the order here, so stay with me. Verses 5 and 9 then talk about the generosity of the psalmist and what they do with their wealth, or maybe not, it would do this anyway. It says, it is well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He's distributed freely. He's given his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. So a consequence of having a deep awe of God is that we give, we bless others, we give away what's been given to us. We don't hoard it tight, fearful of whether more will come. We know God and we know we can trust him. He is our provider. Indeed, Paul quotes that very verse in 2 Corinthians 9 where he talks about a cheerful giver. And he goes on to say, you will be enriched in every way in order to be generous in every way, which will result in thanksgiving to God. The righteous are generous, but more than that, they conduct their affairs with justice. Their interactions with others have integrity, even when nobody is looking or would notice. They are still upright down to the finest detail. The thing that inadvertently comes home in the shopping trolley gets returned because we didn't pay for it. The phrase, his horn is exalted in honor, sounds really peculiar to us. But horn here is an Old Testament metaphor for strength or power or dignity. So God exalts those who fear him with strength and power and dignity. Back to verse 4. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. So here is the first glimpse that tells us that when we love and honor God, it doesn't mean life is trouble-free. Indeed, if you are here listening to this and you don't know Jesus, please don't become a Christian with the aim of having a trouble-free life. It doesn't work like that. Difficult and hard things occur to us all. In fact, Jesus tells us this exact thing in John 16:33, where he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So this is telling us that even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Now just think about that as a promise. It's amazing. Light will dawn in our difficulty. God will be there. He will act. He will provide. He will move. He will transform. He will persist. He will walk with us and help us. Darkness will not overwhelm us. How can we be so sure? Because when Jesus died, he went into total, deep, utter, complete darkness, separated from his Father, so that when you and I go into darkness, light dawns for us. Never, ever fear the darkness, because Jesus has paid the price so that whatever the darkness you are going through, light would always dawn for you and me. So there is no situation coming this year where you will walk in total darkness. Light will break through. God will be there moving you, helping and strengthening you. That's amazing. So encouraging. And the psalmist goes on in verses 6 to 8. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. For in the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. So the question is not, if we get bad news, the question is rather, how do we think about it and how do we handle it? So here we're told the upright person will have no fear of bad news. No. I looked up the Hebrew word for no. It means no. It means none. It means nothing. No fear. Those who have a deep, reverent awe of the Lord have no fear of bad news. And the trouble for us is that we live in a world riddled with fear. We have a 24/7 media that thrives on anxiety and what's not right and what's going wrong. So it's really hard for us to grasp this. But the reason the upright can live like this is because their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That's why they're never shaken. They trust him. So the more you and I focus on God, the deeper our amazement and wonder and gratitude at him is, the more we trust him. We learn from experience how he always shines his light in the darkness. He makes provision. He encourages us. He says it in so many ways to us in Scripture. Hebrews 13:5. For God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Time and again in Scripture, God tells us this. So we can look down the road at 2022 and get fearful about catching COVID, about a loved one dying, about having a teacher in school that we don't like, not being in class with a friend, about losing work, you name it. Or we can look ahead and walk in peace because our heart is trusting God, knowing he's always with us, knowing that he works on our behalf. And that some difficulties that come our way, he will use to either grow us or to bless us or to do both. When we do that, we are choosing faith over fear. Now, I want to be clear. This is not us simply saying, I'm going to do this through gritted teeth. I will. Ginny said this. I will remain steadfast. No. In verse 8, where it says, his heart is steady, the word there has the sense of being upheld, supported. The Lord himself supports our hearts as we do this. We choose to trust him because he's a good, good father who loves each of us so much. And he works to transform us in our circumstances. He works to help us and to heal us, to make us more and more like him. Perfect love casts out fear. Just before Jesus tells the disciples that in the world they will have trouble, he said to them, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In him we have peace. Our hearts are upheld, free from all fear, full of trust, and thus peace in him. We are overcome by his goodness, his majesty, his love. Now, if you look carefully at verse 8, you can find another fear here that is implied, but it's hidden. It says, his heart is steady, he will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. When we walk through life loving Jesus, reading his word, delighting in his commands, being generous, there will always be people who don't like it. You may have met a few already. Whether it's at work, whether it's family, whether it's friends, colleagues, it happens. Following God's way is not popular. People may come against us, speak against us, they may even act against us. These are the adversaries that the psalmist is talking about in verse 8. And it can be easy to fear them. What will they think? Will they disagree with me? If I pray, what will happen? We don't want to upset them. We get a fear of disagreeing with them. We worry about what they will think. All of that is called fear of man. It is never, ever, ever to be entertained or indulged. We cannot mind what others think, and also follow the Lord wholeheartedly. I just want to repeat that. We cannot mind what others think and follow him wholeheartedly. It is fear of man or fear or reverence of the Lord. And you and I get to choose which stays. But remember, in the end, we will triumph on those who come against us, whether that's here or in eternity. And the final verse of the psalm makes it really clear. The wicked man sees it, he's angry, he gnashes his teeth. I love that phrase. He gnashes his teeth, melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Those who come against us may make life difficult, but despite their anger and their desires, they will melt away and perish. And if you read Psalm 1 right at the end, it says exactly the same. The way of the wicked will perish. Now, at the beginning of this sermon, I said, what a great New Year's resolution it could be for this year that we grow more and more into somebody who has such a deep reverence and love of God, that we tremble at his commands and have delight in keeping them. So if you haven't got a New Year's resolution, and it's already day two, I recommend this one. But how? Ginny, how will we do that? Well, it will be different for each of us. But very briefly, I'm going to suggest any one or more or all of the following. Meditate regularly on a passage or verse or two from Scripture. Keep a journal of thankfulness. Find three things each day that went well and thank God for them. Persevere in prayer. If needs be, find a prayer partner or a prayer triplet. Spend time worshipping the Lord, just yourself and YouTube maybe. You know? Exercise the spiritual gifts you have and ask for more. Learn to hear God's voice better. Minimize your use of social media or TV or anything that makes you feel less than the magnificent child of God that you are. A lot of people are really careful about what they put into their body, but they will vacuum up almost anything off social media or TV that does not give health to their soul. Just saying. Cut out anything or diminish your contact with anyone who pulls you away from God. Keep praying for them, but don't let them influence you. Memorize 12 promises of God. Practice generosity, be it with money or time or wisdom or your skills. Find somebody to be accountable to who will encourage you, love you, but also ask you the hard questions. And of course, refuse all fear, whether it be of bad news or what others think. That will take practice, but by the end of the year, which is 364 days down there, you will be better than you were at the beginning. Now, if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, then I want to tell you that knowing Jesus and being loved by him will be the greatest treasure you can ever find. Peace is not the absence of difficulty. Rather, it's walking through life with Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You will not only be rid of your fears and have true peace once you will only be rid of your fears, sorry, and have true peace once you are in him. Make finding him your New Year's resolution. He is standing with open arms, ready to welcome you home. And I want to finish by reading you something from the Lord. This, if you could close your eyes, if you could look at the year ahead and listen to him speaking to you, please. This is coming from Scripture, but I want you to hear this as coming straight to you from the Lord. So if you could just take time, shut your eyes and listen. As you walk through the coming year, remember, I am always with you. I have promised to never leave you and never to forsake you. When I, the Lord God Almighty, promise something, it happens always. So whatever you go through, you can know with complete certainty, I am walking with you, holding your hand, guiding you with my wisdom. Don't pray for me to be with you, for that prayer is already answered. Rather, look to me to see what I'm doing in the situation. I know beforehand your every need, and I will be moving on your behalf. Be constantly thankful, even if it's only that I am with you. Keep looking to me and my strength. Do not be fearful. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remember, I can turn any situation and use it for good. The more you look to me and the more you seek my face, the more you will feel my peace and joy. Fear will flee. Trust me. You give me, your Heavenly Father, so much joy when you choose to trust me and let me work on your behalf. this year will be an adventure together. I will lead you along paths you do not know, and through unfamiliar ways I will guide you. I will shine light in any darkness that comes. I will make the rough patches smooth. You still don't realize how much I love you. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my love for those who fear me. I love you, and together with me guiding you, there is nothing you cannot overcome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are always with us. You know our thoughts before we've thought them. Thank you that you are the one person we can trust, and thank you that in you we can have total peace. Be glorified in us this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.